Incendiary Radio, one more week, the sixth day of August 2017. I'm your host for the next 3 hours here on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. Remember to support the network, folks. Spare change helps, keeps the operation running. We've got a whole ton of hosts here. We do this for free. We do this out of labor of love, love of country, love of our existence, and hate of evil and tyranny and all the crap that we see attempting to put the final touches on this sick last days evil system. But we're all called to stand in that evil day. And so that's what we're all trying to do. That's what I do this. Hell, you know, I've had some real, real struggles in the last few weeks with doing the show and trying to make the time and keep it all together and to try to be relevant. You know, there's so many people out here doing this and there's a real glut out here and people behind microphones. And so, I mean, I hope you guys appreciate it. I mean, I put a lot of work into it. So let's see. I mean, many psychological warfare operations at work this week alone. The big one is this Fire McMaster thing with Cernovich and a bunch of the people in the alternative media. Mike Cernovich, of course, who's clicked up with Alex Jones. And Alex Jones called McMaster a Wahhabi today, like he called former CIA director John Brennan numerous times. And I told people John Brennan is a Jesuit-trained guy, and he might have did a conversion to Islam. Wahhabist Islam when he was the station chief at Saudi Arabia, that doesn't mean that he's a real Wahhabist. There's cryptocracies all over the place. Agents, basically the Israelis, the Jewish element are huge, cryptocrats. You got them all over Islam, you got them all over in Catholicism, Protestantism, and so forth and so on. Well, guess what? A lot of different people do this. And so it's not just them, but other people do these kind of false conversions. They put on masks. They pose as one thing when they're really another. The Jesuit order's got a long history, almost 500-year-old history of doing this. And so the founding fathers warned us of the Jesuits for all you people that want to poo-poo when people talk about the Jesuits. Well, then I guess poo-poo your own founders of your own country, which has given you so much. You know, a lot of brats living here in the United States, talking, you know, about how terrible it is and so forth. Yeah, a lot of these chumps never have left the country and been to some real crap holes. And then they'd kiss the ground once they got back here. And so, you know, there's a lot of fifth columns, in the alt-right, pro-white, white nationalist, type people that would want to subjugate you into some sort of wacko collectivist system. And they're their own kind of messianic, megalomaniacal characters out here that think that they're special and they deserve to rule over you and so forth and so on. And so there's characters in all these sectors. There's a real, real wild things going on here. Now, I did some, you know, I took a lot of notes this week and I got a lot of crazy clips to play. And the big thing is, you know, you got Savage, Michael Savage, Michael Wiener Savage, you got Alex Jones, and you got basically this kind of kosher nationalist right that has really just pumped this thing up into the crescendo levels of that basically the deep state's going to assassinate President Trump. We're going to go under martial law. This sort of thing. And look, we have to realize with the Rex 84 stuff, garden plot, cable splicer, all these army memorandums, army documents, NDAA, internment and resettlement operations documents, all this stuff. Look, it's been on the chalkboard for a long time, of our, let's say, planners. And so it looks, you know, we've been through this kind of buildup before. Now it's 2017. We went through it last year with the election and Obama was going to put us under martial law, so forth and so on. There was going to be no transition to Trump. And, you know, we go through these, ebbs and flows of kind of, where we get real geeked out and looking into this stuff. And so it's like, look, you and I out here, we can kind of influence things a bit. Those of us that do radio and those of you guys that talk to a lot of people and you inform your people in your circle and so forth and so on. And you're out here trying to make an impact and try to push back against this juggernaut of transhumanism, transgenderism, artificial intelligence, basically collectivized world economy, microchipping and all the rest of it that's going to come along with that, the censorship, which is really starting to descend upon a lot of YouTubers. I got a bunch of clips about that. This is very eerie. Now, you got Jeff Sessions running the Department of Justice. You got Obama's guy, I think his name's Pai, I believe. Trump's guy Pai running the FCC. But then you got these huge multi-billionaire conglomerates in the Facebook world, the Google world, which owns YouTube and so forth. You got Twitter shadow banning people. There was this big thing with Eric Trump a couple days ago where he was just trying to tweet out a Drudge Report, basically some you know, job numbers, and you can believe they're inflated, you can believe they're not. Hell, they've been cooking the books on us for so long with job numbers and GDP growth and all the rest of this garbage. You know, you look, I mean, I want to see some positive impact here with this new administration, with Trump, the big business mogul and so forth and so on, that's brought himself back from the brink of bankruptcy and so forth and so on. And a lot of people have speculated into who bailed him out and a bunch of kosher Nostra types and so forth. But you want to see some positives. Anybody that doesn't wish, for their country to get back on solid footing, a lot of people are really, really just, they have no patriotism at all. They want to see this whole thing collapse and blow into, you know, the unknown and go into Road Warrior scenario. And hopefully something great comes out of that. As a person at my age and looking at children and looking at these kids, the inner cities are already bad enough. The barrios are pretty bad. The trailer parks are bad. People are dropping dead all over the place from heroin overdoses, fentanyl cocktailed heroin overdoses. One of my neighbors just informed me that her 22-year-old grandson, just OD'd and is dead. Okay. That happened about a month and a half ago. I was just outside talking and then bam, she lets, you know, I didn't even know about this. People can OD to the point where they're not dead, but they got to put them on a Narcan drip. An IV to where they hit them with the Narcan, it saves their life, but they still got so much of it in their body and it's still ravaging their body to where they got to put them on an actual drip to counteract this. And I was talking to a nurse, you know, let's just say kind of job connected, but it's just like, wow, this dude's on a Narcan drip. Interesting. I just thought it was a quick shot. You give people to save their life and bring them back from the brink. But actually put them on a drip into their IVs, some of these severe cases. But, I mean, everything's in the stratosphere. This Robert Mueller character, folks, this is this goldfish ADD memory that our people have. All of us 9/11 researchers and, you know, what really pisses me off is I was tweeting at Alex Jones the other day. He's sitting here talking about Mueller being a Democrat, you know, operative like Comey and so forth and blah, blah, blah. He goes through the whole litany of this stuff, but he doesn't bring up the fact that Robert Mueller ran the cover up to September 11th. Now, Dr. Kevin Barrett over at Veterans Today is really talking about him running this whole thing with the anthrax scare. Remember that right after 9/11. The Tom Brokaw, who else, a couple senators and the National Enquirer and some other folks got hit with this goofy anthrax hit. They got traced back to Fort Detrick, I believe. The whole thing was a government op. But the thing is, Robert Mueller, to have this guy, this shows the level of sickness in Washington DC, but also that not one person of prominence in the House of Representatives, all 435 of them, or one of the 100 senators, that's 535 people, folks. Not one of them has the stones to call out Robert Mueller and say, I don't want you anywhere near any kind of investigation into anything. You're the chief perp that ran the cover up to September 11th, false flag. Basically, you know, this hit on our country, the USS Liberty times 100, and we're tolerating this guy investigating President Trump. Now, some people think this thing is completely theater. It's already been scripted. It's like you know, a Shakespearean play, and we're in act whatever, and there's still a whole bunch of acts to go, and Trump's playing a part. And Pence is playing a part, and Mueller's playing a part, and Schumer is playing a part, and so forth and so on. You know, part of you thinks that way, but another part says, you know what, they're trying to actually take this guy down. And so you guys are going to have to make up your mind on this one. I'm constantly bantering this back and forth in my own mind. I'm not going to try to tell you how to think. There's enough goofballs behind microphones out here trying to tell you what to think. And I'm not going to be one of them, but I will try to give you angles here to look at. And I think that's the best way to do this, you know, with me, the show like 3 years now. And the show has totally changed from where I started to where it is now. And, you know, a rolling stone gathers no moss, and it has to be this way. Now, let's go ahead and play the Brother Nathaniel clip real quick. And this has got to do with Congress and Russia and the sanctions. Mr. Producer, get clip one queued up. You know, and part of me thinks like this. Trump and Putin, they had some long talks at this G20. Probably Trump knew these sanctions were coming, and he's like, look, I'm going to have to sign them. They got Bob Mueller on my rear end here, and if I veto this, you know, sanction bill that just went through, then they're going to definitely say that I'm colluded up with you, and then they're really going to take me out. And so there's a lot of there's a lot of angles with Trump, Russia. And let's play clip one, Mr. Producer.
Blessed are the peacemakers, but who can say this of Congress, whose hostility to the world comes near the devil himself? And now with its anti-Russia, anti-Iran, anti-North Korea bill, enemies they call them, all the bats come flying out of the belfry.
We will not tolerate attacks on our democracy. That's what this bill is all about.
Then sanction Israel and AIPAC for their attacks on our democracy. Like Jimmy Carter once said, If you don't play ball with the Israel lobby, your political career is over. Not Jackie's. He's a major player.
Last year, we know the United States was victim of an attack by a foreign power on the very foundation of this dear democracy, the right of a people to a free and fair election. The consensus view of 17 agencies is that Mr. Putin interfered in the 2016 election. For that alone, the United States has more than just cause to sanction President Putin.
You don't have just cause. Where's the proof, Schumer? To date, there is still no forensic evidence that Mr. Putin hacked our elections. But Schumer wants to punish Putin anyways. It's that same old Jewish way. They did it to Jesus, remember?
Mr. Putin and his allies have not suffered serious repercussions for this stunning breach of our right as a sovereign nation not to have our elections disturbed by a foreign capital. That all changes today. Congress has drafted this sanctions bill to hold Mr. Putin accountable for his actions and to send a message to him and the rest of the world. Any further attempts to degrade our democracy will meet further sanctions and action. We will not stand by idly.
How about Russia cutting off its nuclear fuel exports to America? That would bring the U.S. to its knees, huh, Checky? That's change you won't ever want to believe in. Let's connect some dots here. Who hates Russia? Putin is admired for having the guts to tell it like it is and for crushing ISIS, something D.C., just can't bring itself to do. And besides, if America is really a Christian country, why does Congress hate Russia so much, whose president and people are savoring its Christian revival? Perhaps it's because America is a Jewish country, not Christian after all. Look, Russia's being punished for something it didn't do, while Iran is being punished for something it legally can do. That is, testing their missiles for self-defense, which is not a violation of the Iran deal. Do McCain and Schumer know that the CIA ignited a coup of the democratically elected Iranian government in 1953? How about that for a stunning breach of a country's sovereignty? And Iran is one of many. Perhaps McCain and Schumer should sanction themselves. It's the Jews who hate Russia and Iran, spreading their hate through the media they own. Russia, allied with Iran, are wrecking Israel's plot to replace Assad's government with ISIS so Israel can bulldoze over the axis of resistance, Syria, Lebanon, and Iran. America has a losing dog in this race thanks to its surrender to the bloodthirsty Jewish state. It's the hacks in Congress feeling the whip of their Zionist charioteers in order to make Jewry's enemies America's enemies.
If the Congress speaks loudly enough and strongly enough, and we send this bill with a veto-proof majority, it won't matter what President Trump decides. Now, before I yield the floor, I'd like to thank my colleagues. At the top of the list, Senators McCain and Graham, who the idea to do this.
But blowback is just a sanction away.
Ну и санкции те же самые тоже абсолютно незаконны с точки зрения международного права. Нарушают принципы международной торговли и правила Всемирной торговой организации. Но мы, как вы знаете,
Since we can't read the translation, but I mean, look, brother Nathaniel there, this Jewish guy, convert to the Orthodox faith. I mean, he busted out there. I mean, he just laid it out very plainly there. This whole thing stinks, but I think probably, I'm guessing Trump knew this was coming. And I'm guessing that he already, basically, him and Putin already worked something out. I hope that that the administration knew this was coming and this was already kind of, you know, they already had things in place and said, look, these jerks are about to drop this and then I'm going to have to sign it, or they're basically this Mueller character they're going to use this weaponized Mockingbird media to basically fully take him down. So we'll see you guys on the other side of the break. Incendiaryradio.chattango.com and incendiarychat.chattango.com. If you like hanging out in the chat rooms, welcome to everybody in there. Hooli's blog.blogspot.com, W-H-O-O-L-I-S blog.blogspot.com. He puts the show up every week on his blog. It's really the really good talk radio show aggregator. And so Hooli, he does a bunch of people's shows. And so, and also to Sean in Australia, WTFR, where thought is free radio, and TCTAUnleashed.com is where you can find the archive at his site as well. So welcome to all the Australian folks. Ernst Zundel, persecuted truth teller, Holocaust revisionist, real guy that went through hell. He's dead. So Ernst Zundel, R.I.P., really great guy that they really raked over the coals his entire life. So let's all say a prayer for Ernst. One of those heavy hitters, man, in the truth-telling circles. And so Michael Hoffman put up a tweet I saw earlier about Ernst Zundel passing. So another hero heavyweight goes. But, we've got to keep plugging along here. I got a bunch of stuff on McMaster because I think that there's a PSYOP. Now, this guy's a CFR member. So first and foremost, he has already compromised himself to the world government conspiracy. But I think there's, as we know that there's almost 3,000 members of the CFR. Everybody is not lockstep thinkers, okay? A lot of people are ladder climbers. They get in, they join CFR, and let's just say they know it's good for their career. And so there's people that do ideological battles within the CFR. I got to talk about this Jewish civil war going on between ideologues on the right and left, because there does seem to be, with Bibi Netanyahu being up for charges once again, but, Savage Levin, Cernovich, all these people on the kind of the right and the left, is it theater for the goy, or is there some real bad blood that comes up between a Mark Levin and a Chuck Schumer? Or do they just do this as to dance in front of the goy and keep us thinking that they're all at each other's throats, like the Republicans and Democrats in Congress, where they go to cocktail parties after they just acted like they wanted to kill each other on the House floor. It's an interesting phenomenon to watch. And look, I like watching people fight. I like watching them trash each other. Now, at the end of the day, is it like this protocol's vision? A lot of people don't stay in the protocols enough. And I got to get back into it. Protocol 21, very short. It's about economics. So if I come up on something on economics, I'm going to try to remember to read that real quick, Protocol 21. But basically, how they said they'd have agents at all political spectrum and they'll all be working together. But, you got to realize people are humans, and a lot of the best whistleblowers in history came off the plantation, and they really did themselves in and sacrificed to blow the whistle on machinations of the Cosa Nostra. And so, the Jack Bernsteins of the world and the Benjamin Friedmans and the Myron Fagans and so many of these other guys that are willing to, there's this guy from France, his last name's Cohen, but basically, and I can't remember his first name right now, I don't have it written down, but he's written these books on basically Mossad operation. you know, kind of like Ostrovsky, Viktor Ostrovsky, but even deeper, to where basically they're calling this guy a traitor and his life's in danger and all kinds of things. You know, people can say, oh, he's just doing that to make, you know, to perpetuate the myth that there's some good folks out here in this sector or whatever. But, you know, we'll cover this on the other side of the break, but I got a lot to get to and we're going to jump into it on the other side, folks. Keep listening. Radio. If you don't like the mandolin rocking like that, you're gay. You are gay. Anyway. Now, Mr. Producer, I sent you this clip 23. Get that ready. Now, this is Jones at the beginning of a show a couple days ago. And he's basically building up Cy Hirsch, okay, this Jewish journalist, two-time Pulitzer Prize winner guy, okay. And I got a bunch of clips with Jones and a few people tonight to kind of build on where we're at here with Seth Rich, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, the Awan brothers, all this crap. But then we're going to move into McMaster as well. So Cy Hirsch, basically, now he's saying that Seth Rich is the guy that leaked to Julian Assange at WikiLeaks, okay, and then he was murdered, and so forth and so on, okay? So let's keep that in mind. And now Cy Hirsch, this big, heavyweight Jewish journalist, and look, Cy Hirsch has done some big stuff. He was talking about basically our deep state being involved with trying to overthrow President Assad in Syria directly through using these front jihadist organizations, okay? Now, go ahead and let's hit clip 23 real quick.
Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Cy Hirsch has already written months ago that he talked to U.S. intelligence and a top British ambassador who have actually met with high-level U.S. intelligence officers as well that have confirmed Seth Rich was the leaker to WikiLeaks. We have Julian Assange publicly, within a week of Seth Rich being gunned down, shot in the back, saying that they don't ever give up sources, but that basically Seth Rich was their source and it should be investigated along those lines. We now have intel coming out that you have these Islamic brothers from Pakistan in control of the Democratic Party servers, and that Seth Rich was reportedly that night at a party with them. You have Debbie Wasserman Schultz threatening the D.C. police that she is over as representative of that area, saying, I'll cut your funding if you don't get back their laptops. And then you have them in the news saying, don't ever question Seth Rich's murder. Don't look at it or we'll basically have somebody sue you. Well, this is Cy Hirsch, ladies and gentlemen. The article's on Infowars.com. The video and audio is on Infowars.com. And there is a total MSM blackout on two-time Pulitzer Prize-winning author, who also exposed that ISIS and Al-Qaeda were being run by Obama. By the way, he's a liberal, a classical liberal. but he has a conscience. He's credited with ending the Vietnam War with his stories on the My Lai massacre, you name it. The guy who spurred Walter Cronkite to say the war was unwinnable because it wasn't meant to be won. Media completely ignores bombshell Seymour Hersh revelations on Seth Rich. Not a single MSM outlet has covered the story. The audio tape obtained by Big League Politics, Hersh says he saw an FBI report leaked to him by an insider, which confirms that Rich had contacted WikiLeaks with sample emails from DNC leaker and asked for payment for the full data dump. And it goes on from there. And he has multiple ambassadors telling him the same thing. One of these ambassadors has gone public to say he met with U.S. intelligence and they showed him the files.
That okay, Rich go ahead. Stop it there, Mr. Producer. Now, here's the story where, here's where I'm going to go with this another layer down with it. Okay. So we hear now Jones, and if you listen to the recording of Cy Hersh, you can hear it on Big League Politics and then on over there on InfoWars. But basically he said Seth Rich was shopping these recordings around for money, basically. So this is the new angle, that Seth Rich was a money grubber, and basically, and Seth Rich was Jewish and he did military training in Israel. And so I talked about this weeks ago, that basically Millennium Report and others basically broke it out that Seth Rich was probably Israeli intelligence. Okay, but here's how this Jewish reporter, Cy Hersh, probably connected somehow with the kosher mob as well. He's trying to say now that Seth Rich was shopping it to WikiLeaks, he wanted some money, see, to try to throw the heat off of the fact that it was probably an Israeli intelligence operation. If you're buying into the Likudnik model that Bibi and the Likudniks wanted Trump, and see, Wasserman Schultz, okay, Jewess from Florida in Roger Stone's district, and I'm gonna play this clip in a minute. Mr. Producer, get clip 22 ready, okay? And you know there's always fights between the labor Zionists, the left-wing communists in Israel, and the Likudniks, which are more like your Republicans, okay? So these two are always fighting. They're putting each other in jail. They're bringing each other up on charges. Hey, if we locked up all the Jewish people in the world into one country, you know they're gonna, the first thing they're gonna do when they see they can't, you know, parasite basically off the host, what are they going to do? They're going to eat each other. They're going to be the Ouroboros and freaking start to eat each other, because that's just how they are. And so this happens from time to time in the community. And so now you have Wasserman Schultz, okay? Now look, Fetzer, Dr. Fetzer, who I've interviewed numerous times, and some of these other folks that the Awan brothers might be working, this ISI kind of Mossad CIA. And so think about this, a left-wing kind of communist Jewish politician from Florida, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, why is she going to have all these Pakistani kind of Muslim guys running IT for her unless they are intelligence operatives? There's no way. She would have little Jewish kids running her IT. I mean, so there's something to be said here. And so you look at this and you're like, okay, you got Seth Rich. I'm just probably thinking that Seth Rich was in the DNC, but then you got all these pictures of him wearing his prop, you know, his kind of patriotic America clothes and all this. He was probably a Likudnik plant into the DNC. Now, you know, Obama did not want to see Bibi win the last election. So Bibi and Obama really had kind of a, you know, didn't like each other, because Obama's a leftist and Bibi's more aligned with the neocons in the Republican Party. This is how this whole thing rolls. And if you don't kind of look at it that way, then you're probably not going to see the nuance here. And so, you know, Seth Rich is dumping the WikiLeaks, probably, you know, and a lot of people think that the WikiLeaks boys are kind of attached to Israeli intelligence and so forth and so on. And so then you had the whole Pizzagate thing, Podesta, the hot succulent hot dogs and Obama and, the Comet Pizza thing with Olifantis and him wearing around his rubber t-shirts and he's screwing around with David Brock from Media Matters. This whole little sick cesspool. But the thing is, the point I wanted to make up is, so Cy Hersh is basically saying now, and now look, I could be totally wrong here. I'm just going kind of like, past experience, gut feeling, and said, okay, so you want to make it look like Seth Rich was looking for money instead of working for somebody, okay? And that kind of cuts the operation off right there. So, hey, Seth Rich, just this kid, he wanted to get paid. So he did all the thumb drive stuff, which I'm about to play with Roger Stone in a second. But let's listen to this next one. Let's do clip 22, Mr. Producer.
He does Deborah Wasserman Schultz, who happens to be my congresswoman, the district that I live in Florida, threatened the Capitol Hill police chief over the seizure of evidence from her office. But after she is well aware that the investigation has been launched, she changes the classification of the Awan brothers from consultant to House of Representative employees to ensure that they continue to have access to the House of Representatives computer system. This seems to me to be, a crime. This is part of an ongoing conspiracy, and now she's a co-conspirator. And I think this is, while being ignored by the mainstream media as very best they can, not making the front page of the New York Times or the Washington Post or the Fort Lauderdale Sun Sentinel, this is a cover-up of extraordinary magnitude. As it relates to the Seth Rich murder, I agree with you. Mr. Rich headed a division of the Democratic National Committee from which documents were clearly stolen. We now know from William Binney and Ray McGovern and others in an extraordinary piece published last week that the evidence shows that the documents were never hacked but were downloaded to thumb drives and removed from the DNC. So the entire question of hacking of the DNC by the Russians, that's false. Guccifer 2.0, that now appears to be false, is falling apart, and the Democrats are desperate to distract from the connection between the Awan brothers and the now more than 30 members of Congress that gave access to their computer systems to these two Pakistanis, who, by the way, Alex, seem to have scant IT experience, raising the question of maybe this perhaps was a Pakistani or governmental operation and the Awans were just fronting. Key point, no member of Congress will step forward to testify against the brothers. None of them will go public, including Deborah Wasserman Schultz.
Hey, pause it there for a second, Mr. Producer. Oh, now, wait a minute. If this was some Pakistani intelligence operation, you'd have plenty of Congress people that would come out and be like, oh, yeah, the Pakistanis hacked us, these evil Muslims in Pakistan. But just by them, everybody being shush, shush, nobody wanting to touch it, who do you think's operation this is, folks? Think about it. Put two and two together. If this was just some ISI hack into something, they'd be ready to bomb Pakistan, folks, which we have been doing anyway for the last 14 years. Give me a break. This is probably Israeli intelligence operation because everyone's keeping their mouth zippered shut real, real tight. Go ahead and continue, Mr. Producer.
Politically incorrect.
Let's expand on that. If you go back to 9/11, it was in major newspapers at the time that the FBI said it's as if Al-Qaeda had people at the top of the FBI. Well, we know with people like the man heading up the witch hunt right now, Mueller, he has major contacts with the Democratic Party. His law firm gives 99.8% of their money to the Democrats. They get massive money from the Saudis, the Pakistanis. He's the guy that had the FBI in his 10-year tenure take radical Islam off of the list of terror groups when they are responsible for 99% of terror. And then we ask, why is the Muslim Brotherhood being backed in the Arab Spring? Why is Al-Qaeda and ISIS being backed? Why? Why is Hillary staying in the same bed as Uma Abedin and her Islamic family? Why is a Islamic woman leading the feminist movement now in the country, teaching women to wear burqas? Why is USA Today saying wear burqas if you're a feminist? Why is it everywhere? Why is everything Islamified? Why when I tune into Trevor Noah or John Oliver, anybody that's attacking me, they say Jones is scum. He claims Muslims are involved in crime and that Muslims are unvetted and that some Muslims have diseases. When it's a fact that they're pouring in with TB, it's a fact they're pouring in with crime. Just look at Europe. Untouchable God group.
Yeah. But who made them untouchable, Alex? That's the point. Who owns the media and academia that made them untouchable? And this is where, see, you got to take it another level down from Jones. And I listen to Jones because they keep up on a lot of stuff. But see, I can triangulate off of what I listen. And then he's like, why is everything Islamified? Well, guess what? Because that's the new management system. And he wants to know why letting all these nuts take over in parts of the Middle East. Well, that's to break it up. The Oded Yunon plan. The Moshe Dayan plan, which preceded Oded Yunon, which is to basically create an expansionist Israeli empire. And then they're going to have a central bankster controlled caliphate going from Turkey to Saudi Arabia and so forth. And that's why Syria, Iran, and Lebanon have to go, like Brother Nathaniel just told you, because these guys don't want to play ball with the Zio caliphate of Erdogan. And look, Erdogan and the Saudis are in trouble, okay, just as far as their political, you know, standing. They're cracking down on their own citizens now. A lot of people have been exposing this in the last 2 days. So the House of Saud, I told you how long ago that the House of Saud is probably slated to go bye-bye, and they'll bring in, let's just say, some Erdogan allies, and this is going to be your Zio caliphate, okay, that's going to go across everywhere around the greater Israel. Keep in mind these two principles, greater Israel, Zio caliphate, bankster, central IS level caliphate. Okay, they're all going to have central banks, but it's going to be Islamic. And look, and then they'll use these guys as basically the muscle, the bludgeon in Europe, in our country, in Canada. They're opening up, what, the Olympic Stadium to refugees, this little turd Trudeau, this little piece of garbage, ski instructor or whatever the hell he was. He's just a legacy from his daddy. So now he's the prime minister. He's destroying Canada. I mean, this is sick what we're witnessing. I have this, you know, like this positive kind of thing in my belly that I realize that this can't stand. It's not going to happen. There's too many hardcores out here that are getting their mind, their wits about them, and they're like, I hope there's a bunch of these guys in Canada, in the military, in the mounted police, and so forth. That are getting feeling the danger that I'm feeling, and that the danger they're feeling in Australia and in Europe and Eastern Europe. See you guys on the other side of the break. Crazy things happening. Short segment here. I wanted to cover this real quick. I'm going to get back into this McMaster stuff in a second, but this is a short segment, so I wanted to talk about this for a couple minutes. Gays, throwing gays off of buildings, and we've all watched the videos of so-called jihadis throwing gays off of buildings. How do we know that these people are gay? And I'm thinking about this. I'm like, this is another level of psychological warfare. And this was used to draw let's say, your right-wing Christian patriot types and the gays together against this enemy, jihad, Islam. Okay, how do you know that those weren't Christians of a certain sect, like Orthodox Christians in Syria? How do we know that they were gay? Did we ever watch them partake in any gay acts? And so we know who comprises ISIS, okay? A lot of useful idiots, but at the managerial level, intelligence people of, you know, probably a few different countries. How do we know these people that they're throwing off buildings are gay? I just wanted you to think about this because it's a probably they're not. They're probably Christians. Okay. And for us to sit there and be like, okay, they just threw a queer off a building and then people make light of it. How do you know that that person was gay? And that, you know what I'm saying? When they show us in Iran, gays supposedly being hanged from a cranes or whatever, how do you know that they're gay? I'm just saying, cause that could be a psyop, because it's like, we know that there's a couple of agendas going on here. Basically, spiritually in the world, we know Christians are under assault. In various parts of the Hindu world in India, some of the hardcore Hindus are really doing evil things to the Christians. In parts of Africa, Pakistan's one of the worst, but parts of Asia in the communist world, Laos, Vietnam, China, Christian persecution is terrible. And of course, in places like the Copts in Egypt and in normal Islamic countries, Christianity, depending on, you know, what type of Islam is running that country, Christians are, you know, dhimmi, second class citizens, turds. And so, and now we see in the secular West, this kind of new secularism. And I'm even seeing it in some of the, well, there's the music. Basically, the world is aligning against Christianity across all sectors and races and ideology. Gays off buildings, how do you know they're gays? I'll see you guys on the other side. Second hour of Incendiary Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Welcome to the show. Hope you're enjoying it. Now, let's have a little fun on the Alex Jones, Bill Hicks tip. I heard this and I was like, oh, I got to make a note right now. Mr. Producer, get clip 20 ready. Clip 20, get that ready. Now, Jones is interviewing Pechenik and they're talking about basically what's going on with the deep state and Trump and the attempted takedown here by the Bolshevik Democrats and these kind of rhino neoconservative Trotskyite Republicans. Okay. Now look, we know both parties are basically communist. Okay. Communist light and communist heavy. Democrats are communist heavy. The Republicans are communist light. It's really what it is. If you look at the manifesto, everybody, you know, dust off your communist manifesto and read it, folks, and you'll understand that we're under a communist system. The Republicans just want to give you the appearance that they still like the founding fathers and liberty and all those things. Now, there's certain like benchmarks that they don't want to go past because then the psyop, the cloud of retardation will dissipate. And then people will be like, oh my God, we're under tyranny, like guns. They haven't wanted to go after the guns just yet because, well, Obama tried. I mean, Bloomberg and Sandy Hook and this whole, these sequence of false flags, these anti-gun false flags. I mean, they tried. They went for it. But like I said before on this program, the DNA encoding into the European male. I mean, if this was a country of blacks, they would have got our guns a long time ago. I hate to tell you black listeners that, but you guys, your political sea legs, you just got them a couple decades ago. And so, you're still real wet behind the ears when it comes to communism versus, you know, liberty and what it means, free speech and private property and gun rights and all these things. And so, but basically the DNA download into the European male, it stopped Obama and these communists like Pelosi and Schumer and Bloomberg and the rest of them. They were going for it. If Hillary would have got in, man, I guarantee you there would have been a sequence of false flags already hitting us, to go after the guns. And so think about that with Trump. There's been a real shutdown, as of this point. Now, like I said this too, when Trump first got inaugurated, I had this weird feeling that came over me. And I was like, this kind of feels like George W. Bush being inaugurated again. And we know on 9/11/2001, the hit went down. Now we're at 8/6/2017. So we're coming up on September. I'm not saying, now look at all the buildup, look at all the machinations going on, and we're right around this, we got the eclipse coming up, we've got 9/23 coming up, and the big alignment with the Virgin and everything going on, and 9/23/2017, if you're not into that, check it out. But you got all these things coming up right now again. And let's just say I have an eerie feeling that this kind of lull that we've had, okay, make America great again, the expansion in the economy, et cetera, et cetera. But let's just say whether Trump is privy to the information or not, the planners, the sick kind of deep underbelly planners that do these things, they might have the next one ready to hatch on us. And so mark my words, I just said it tonight, 8/6. Keep your eyes open in the next couple months here. And we've already seen that all these people are talking about the stock market and everything. The economy's designed to implode in October. And so look what happened to the markets after 9/11. All the put options that were placed on the airlines and other industries where these people knew they were going to make money on the misery and the basically the drops. See, you can bet on the markets to drop, and that's called a put option, folks. And there's people putting put options out all over the place. I mean, pay attention. I mean, I wish I had time to lay the groundwork to get guys like Max Kaiser or some of these other, you know, financial minds on to be like, oh, hey, what's going on in the put options market? And they could tell you, you know, I just don't, but I guarantee you there's weird things going on in the markets where people are betting on a big drop here coming up. And this kind of coincides with the whole where they're going to assassinate Trump thing that Alex and all these other people have been, he's not the only one, folks. There's a ton of people, So when you mentioned Joe, he's reading the zeitgeist here. And look, I mean, he's running cover for the basically kosher wing of this thing. And he's throwing it all on the Islamics. And that's his job. I mean, he's a multimillionaire. He's having a good time with it. And he's still probably got some, you know, altruistic bones in his body where he's like, look, I've had to compromise. You know, these people, when they get to a certain level, they do that. That's why I don't like having to worry about trying to make money, and I could just vent. I could throw this stuff out here at you guys, and you can take it or leave it. I'm not trying to get any money from you. Just support the network in a minimum fashion. If 1,000 of you guys gave, $10 a month, 1,000 listeners on RBN, $10 a month, you pay the overhead. Then we'd be fine. And I don't get a dime, and I don't want a dime. You know why? Because I would almost feel tainted by taking money from people for doing what I do. There's enough of hosts out here with donate buttons on their websites, folks. I'm not one of them. And I'm just giving you what's right off the top of my head, right off the top of my soul. I'm giving you to, you know, the way I'm seeing things. Oh, so back to, and I went full circle here, but Dr. Steve Pachenik was on with Jones. And he throws the Bill Hicks thing out here. And, you know, the whole speculation with Jones and Bill Hicks and all the YouTubers and everything. Pachenik throws the PSYOP out here, kind of like Robert David Steele did a few weeks ago on Jones, where he said there's a bunch of kidnapped kids living on colonies in Mars. And then, you know, when they're talking about pedophilia, and then this guy, this CIA guy, Robert David Steele, who hasn't been back on Jones, but basically – through this PSYOP out here, he's running the Unrigged movement with Cynthia McKinney, and he, you know, real weird kind of thing going on there. That's a black ops deal going on. And I'm not saying black ops because Cynthia McKinney's black. I respect her in a way because she's really, you know, she's one of the few people that spoke truth to power when it came to AIPAC and all the rest of it. But back to Dr. Steve Pachenik, Bill Hicks, Alex Jones, Mr. Producer, clip 20, go ahead and let it rip.
The wit that you have is far sharper than anybody realizes. Let me tell you something about yourself that you don't appreciate. Whatever you are or you're not, you are an incredible wit that can absorb things at a very high speed. And you've got to use that as a weapon to basically say, okay, they've been knocking me down, but you know what? I'm still up. So you got an Anderson Cooper. Go and talk to him. I mean, Anderson can't match your own wit.
We've invited them all on. They're all scared to come on.
Well, then fine. Then go on their show. And so you went with Megyn Kelly. What did it do? It increased your ratings. But the reality is you started with nothing. InfoWars was nothing. And suddenly we have millions of people buying a lot of products. Google has to censor you. They censor me, or Twitter has to censor. And the point of fact, take that as a point of compliment. That's your battle medal. You just went into one battle after another. And I'm saying to you, look, I have faith in your ability to absorb and to be able to respond so fast at the moment. Even better than they are. I would not want to say that you're a better comedian, but I would honestly say you are far better comedian, and you and I know that. So for you to be able to confront them, either on their show, your show, whatever you care about, it's not an issue whether the product is good or not, or whether you have to rationalize anything. You don't have to rationalize anything. The bottom line is I would want you to go face to face with these guys. And you know that I know that your mind is far faster, far sharper, far more incisive. You know, you're lethal when it comes to humor. And, you know, these are the new humorists, so to speak. They can't compare to the old line guys like Bill Hicks and others who you might have known about. But these, the Bill Hickses and the other, you know, the guys who really started the whole industry, that's what you're like. And when you come face to face with them, use it. Don't be defensive. That's fine. If they don't like your product,
well, you're nice to say that. I totally get they're attacking us because we're effective. It's just that they're so incredibly full of bull. Now seriously, let's
all
get
right,
into.
Go ahead and stop it there. Now, so the one comedian that Pachenik, this big heavy hitter in the underbelly deep state formerly, supposedly, he NLPs the audience with Bill Hicks, and that's the only comedian that he mentions when he's on there with Jones. Really, I mean, I heard that the other day, and I'm like, oh, and then, you know, some of the other cats I talked to on Twitter were like, oh, did you hear that? Did you hear that? I was like, yeah, dude. I hear that. And I thought that was just crazy that he did that. Now, we got a few minutes left here. Now, let's get clip 19 ready, Mr. Producer. This one's really funny. So Jones had Milo on the other day, and a caller gets in there. He makes it through, and he talks about Milo when Milo said, well, you want to talk about Jews controlling the media? Well, we do. The Jews controlling the banks? Well, we do. You remember that clip that we've all probably seen where Milo Yiannopoulos, this gay, dangerous faggot, character, conservative mouthpiece, former Breitbart guy, you know, the whole deal with Leslie Jones got him yanked off of Twitter. This character, Milo, who's done these bunch of college speaking tours and so forth. But a caller gets through with Jones and Milo, and I listen to the interview, and it's pretty good stuff. You know, even though some of it's very goofy, but they had a lot of fun together. But listen to this, and you're gonna kind of find this one interesting. Let's do clip 19.
Hello, Alex and Milo. I'm a huge fan of InfoWars, and Milo, I love your outspoken honesty.
Well, thank
especially
you very
on
much.
The topic of Jewish control in America.
There's I don't a know video if I quite said that, but all right.
Yeah, there's a video of you on the Rubin Report where you say the Jews do run everything. You're vastly overrepresented in the media in banking.
And well, yeah, no, what debate, I think, fact, yes,
and
yes.
It's
yeah.
not
okay, let's let him respond. Thank you, Adam. Go ahead.
No, I think I said, we were talking about anti-Semitism, and I said, well, one example of something that is not anti-Semitic is merely pointing out that we, as Jews, are vastly overrepresented in industries perceived to be powerful, like the media and like banking. And that is perfectly true and not an anti-Semitic observation. So that was the point we were making in that show.
I mean, my deal is a lot of the anti-Jew crowd, they attribute magical powers. They're always saying everything I have is Jewish and Jews tell me what to do. And it's just like, it's just an excuse for people not to be successful. And
yeah, they do the same thing that the left, you know, that the Democrat Party does with Russia, that the left does with the straight white male patriarchy. I think there's
exactly. The Russians made me successful.
I think there's,
or it's the Jews.
Some
or
people
the,
do the same thing with Jews. And it's just as intellectually unsatisfying when they do it.
It just gets old.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and personally, I've experienced it. If somebody falls on a banana peel, it's you. I mean, it gets a little old.
Yeah.
But I let the caller get on and talk about it. Let's go.
Stop it there, Mr. Producer. You know what gets a little old, Jones, is every time that somebody brings up Jews on your show, you talk about somebody falling on a banana peel. And that's your kind of psychological defense mechanism where you talk about these things, but then you don't want to get into nuts and bolts, okay? You don't want to get into the faces at CNN that the one guy gets doxed for. They didn't dox him for just, the one incident. I can't even remember what it was, but they doxed him for his meme that he did on all the Jews at CNN. You don't want to talk about all the people at the top of the big banks. And you don't want to talk about all the people, the whack jobs running academia. There happens to be a large Jewish kind of left Bolshevik contingent that's in charge of the whole damn thing. And then you get into these Hebrew immigrant aid societies. And then you got this other one called IsraAid that Mark Collette, I was listening to Dr. Duke, his show on Friday, and Mark Collette's this British guy, and he's Dr. Duke's guest every Friday. And this guy, I'll tell you what, people have questions about Collette. He looks Jewy, blah, 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 blah. He just came on the scene, whatever. He wrote a book, The Fall of Western Man, and so forth and so on. But I'll tell you what, as far as intelligence, articulation, quick on his feet, I mean, hell, this guy, he's so good. And he just did a video about all the basically these Jewish organizations and NGOs and sort of thing that are involved in the massive immigration influx into Europe. Whereas they're so protective of their own little, you know, fiefdom were refugees and the rest of it, but then they want to spit refugees into Europe at these massive numbers and even send their own people up here in these organizations to help it happen. And then you got all these rabbis on film and on videos talking about destroying, white Europe and Christian Europe and so forth and so on. So when Jones talks about slipping on a banana peel, he's either number one, ignorant, or he's number two, disingenuous. I would guess to say that he's disingenuous because he wants to remain the big fish in the pond. And look, I like Jones and I like listening. He's like, just like Steve Pachenik said, the dude, he wouldn't be there if he wasn't talented. He's talented. I mean, his intellect, his, being quick on the feet and the rest of it. A lot of people talk smack on Jones and they don't even listen to the content. And I'm like, I listen to stay sharp and I listen to triangulate and I mean, if it wasn't, you know, when certain things are talked about, when certain others are on, I'll turn on to another network and I'll turn on to my own network here at RBN, whatever. But at times I like to dip in and see the analysis and see how basically the kosher nationalist message is being put out there to the masses. And this is why I dip in there from time to time, because if I don't, then I'm going to be ignorant basically of where they're trying to push, the mob, the people that are, awakened to a 75th percentile, but not all the way, about basically the mafias that are really pulling the strings. You could talk about Bilderberg, CFR, you know, all the stink tanks and the rest of it, but then you gotta get into, okay, where's the money? Who's pulling the strings? And this is what it is. See you guys on the other side of the break. It's Cindy Lee Radio. Keep listening. Hope you're enjoying the show.
Homicide, sweet suicide, natural causes. Day or night.
All right, we are back. Cindy Radio. Short segment here before the bottom of the hour. Mr. Brewster, get clip three ready. True Stream Media. This is Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton, former employees of Mr. Jones, but they do a lot of interesting work and I always keep up with them on YouTube. This is about the moon landings and the Russians. You know, you got the sanctions regime, you got the flat earth movement, but you got Dr. Fetzer, who's a very smart guy, talking about the moon landing was BS. Look, I'm not saying necessarily it was BS, but I'm saying the footage that they presented to us is complete BS. Now, whether they had a secret space program, like Jones says, and they gave us bogus footage to hide the highly classified secret space program, that where we really did go to the moon or not, you guys can argue about that. But what I'm saying is that the tinfoil, goofy, cheesy thin spacesuits and the moonwalks and all the rest of that garbage, that footage, that's garbage. That's Stanley Kubrick, I believe, that pimped that one on us. Let's hit clip three.
As a follow-up to the last video I did, I thought you guys would find this kind of interesting. Apparently, back in 2015, a Russian official called for an international investigation into whether America ever really landed on the moon. In an op-ed in a Russian newspaper, Vladimir Markin, spokesman for the government's official investigative committee, actually called for an international investigation to help solve the mystery of the disappearance of all of the official footage from the original moon landing in 1969, that curious disappearance. Because apparently they weren't too satisfied with what Washington Post describes as NASA's restored copies of the landing using recordings from other sources such as CBS News. Because as we know, not only did NASA say that all of the Apollo 11 telemetry data, all of the official original crystal clear recordings that we're told the engineers saw in the control booths, the ones that no one else got to see because of the degradation of the processing of the footage to live TV format, is gone forever. And their own reports say that no one will ever see it, ever. And not only are there astronauts saying that all the technology to get to the moon was destroyed, but people really have to start thinking about what actually passed for proof back in 1969 versus what would pass for proof today. A lot of people today do not understand how the Cold War was and how many things were permissible under that kind of declared yet undeclared war in the name of national security. All manner of things that they did, from unethical human experimentation to who knows what even today, because they won't declassify a lot of that documentation. So what passed for proof then versus what passes for proof now with all the technology that everyone has? It's pretty interesting. I mean, maybe the Russians saw clips of Aaron Reinen on Fox News talking about how the state of Ohio paid him to make a documentary proving America landed on the moon, which he went into it thinking, well, that should be totally easy to do, no problem.
My next guest, Aaron Reinen, started out believing the official version of history, which is what I and most people believe. Aaron, tell us why you have changed your mind and now become a skeptic.
Well, let me first clarify. I was paid by the state of Ohio in 1999 to spend a year trying to prove we actually landed on the moon. And I was a total believer.
Wait, you paid with taxpayer money?
It's called Did We Go? And the challenges, Geraldo, everywhere I went, it was just amazing. Moon rocks falling in Antarctica, Neil Armstrong's silence. But I was the first to report, and you played the clip earlier tonight, that all the science data, the telemetry data, was missing. Geraldo, this isn't just one tape. This is rooms of tape labeled Apollo 11 moon landing. Someone had to physically go and erase it. And it just, you know, I really, in my heart, Geraldo, I want us to go. And I know all your viewers want us to go.
So join NLA by Bill Nye, the science guy, doesn't it?
All right.
Turns out it wasn't. And
go ahead and stop it there. And we're going to come up on the break. But there's some good documentaries out there about, let's just say, Kubrick being involved in producing the footage. You've got the Moon Faker website out there. You've just got a ton out here that, let's just say this. The disappearance of all this stuff, it's something to put out there in a short segment like that. So we'll see you guys on the other side.
Never done.
right, here we go. We're back. Stimuli Radio, Republic Broadcasting Network, Sunday night, August 6, 2017. About to go into the 7th here at the Central Standard Time. We had a caller that made himself through. I didn't open the phones, but what the hell. Let's take Ken in Fort Worth. Greetings, sir. Try to be brief. I got a lot to cover.
Okay, okay. Hey, I'm writing what Debbie Washerwoman Shelson told her to, is she going to turn in state's evidence? And I asked her if she ought to resign for the betterment of this country. You know, Jim Mars passed away, right?
Yes, oh, I forgot to mention that. Jim Mars and Ernst Zundel. Isn't that crazy?
And anyway, Jim Mars, in a Fort Worth Star-Telegram Saturday, there was a nice article about, you know, about him, what he did. And he put all, they put all the names of his books in the article, which kind of put me away, which was good. I remember one time Jim Mars came to Fort Worth over here at the bookstore with, when he had his book out, Rule by Secrets. And I said, Jim, you know, this stuff you got in this book over here, I read it 20 years ago in the John Birch Society, American Opinion Magazine, you know. I said, but I'm glad you put it out anyway. But anyway, yeah. He was out there. And whenever you find his book, I always take it from the metaphysical section and put it over in the political section. And when you go to bookstores and libraries, you get them books out of the conspiracy books out of the library and put them up where you can find them. Lay them on the tables. Make it easy for people.
Yeah. A lot of people in the movement, let's just call it that way, didn't like Jim Mars because he wrote books such as Rise of the Fourth Reich. And so then they tried to basically say that Jim Mars was a shill because he was saying that this new world order that we're seeing is more like world communism and less like Franco, Mussolini, and Hitler. And so a lot of people poo-poo Jim Mars. And you see this stuff. If you dig into the alternative media pretty heavy, you know, like I do, you'll see people, oh, Jim Mars, Rise of the Fourth Reich, he was a shill, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know,
I saw him at the Grassy Knoll when Kennedy Day there. And I told him, Jim, I still put your books out where people can find them, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look, I mean... See, I'm not this type of person that, like, that's on some high horse. Like, you see these people out here. They're behind microphones. They do websites. And then an author does something that they disagree with, and they're ready to completely throw a guy like Jim Mars under the bus. Where I don't do that because I've heard Jim Mars on, like, Jeff Rentz before talking about the Zionists and so forth. And so it's, look. You know, people get caught up into this thing where it's got to be 100% to their liking or they're going to throw that person under the bus. And this is how we lose. This is a losing strategy. And a lot of people are figuring this out now. When you say a guy like this who did a lot to expose the conspiracy, just because he didn't go far enough for you or me or somebody else, Then you label this person into the shill category and then you disregard their entire life's work. I don't do things like that. I think that's being a sucker. I think that's being cheesy. And I think that's like, what that does is you put other people down to try to pick yourself up like you're holier than thou. And I don't do that. And so, hey, look, the dude connected some dots. And, he did a lot of 9/11 research and he did a lot of JFK research and he did a lot of intricate. Yeah. And all, hey, rest in peace to Jim Mars to me.
But his books are still around. Go to Amazon.
Oh, yeah.
Put Jim Mars in there. You can find him.
Oh, of course. Sure. He's a pretty prolific guy. I mean, you know, guys like David Irving and Ernst Zundel, their books are harder to find. You're going to have to pay some coin. And so
he's got a new book out coming out called Illuminati, and I don't think it's out yet.
Well, we'll see if it remains to if we'll see if it gets out. I mean,
I hope so.
I'm gone. All right. See you, man. Thank you. Thanks for the call and reminding me about Jim Mars. That's great. You know, and half the people, oh, Robert's a shill. He just said R.I.P. to Jim Mars. You know what? I'm sick of these wussies out here that, you know, they're. It's just like, whatever, man. People are people, and an old guy like that that's been doing things like that, I'll show him some respect. Even though I don't have to necessarily agree with him on all things, I'm still a nice enough guy to say, hey, when he passes away and he's done enough in his life's work, to open eyes. And that's all, you know, that's all where I'm at. I'm getting more and more humble. I'm getting more and more simple and boiling things down. And I'm not getting into this, put everybody else down but myself. I see these people out here and they really get on my nerves. They're like, I'm the only one out here telling the truth and everybody else is a shill. Blah. You know what? I'd slap you if you were in front of me. That's how it rolls with me. Anyway, let's move. Let's go back into, let's get into Mike Cernovich, Carolyn Glick. Okay. Now, and all of the people in the Fire McMaster movement. Okay. Now I'm going to read Carolyn Glick. She writes for, where's she at now? She's like number two at the Jerusalem Post right now, managing editor. All right. Now this chick's been all over the place. All right. But I saw her on the Gateway Pundit the other day and talking about McMaster needs to go. Okay. Now, American born Israeli journalist, newspaper editor and writer. She writes for Makor Rishon and is the deputy managing editor of the Jerusalem Post. She is also the senior fellow for Middle East Affairs of the Washington DC based Center for Security Policy. She was born in Chi-Town, grew up in Hyde Park. Oh, same neighborhood as Obama has his little place. Graduated from Columbia University, with a Bachelor of Arts. She immigrated to Israel in 91, joined the IDF, worked in the IDF's Judge Advocate General Division during the First Intifada in 92. And she co-edited and authored Israel, the Intifada, and the Rule of Law. Following the Oslo Accord, she worked as coordinator of the negotiations with the Palestinian Authority. Retired from the military at the rank of captain at the end of 96. She then worked for about a year as the assistant to the Director General of the Israeli Antiquities Authority. Assistant foreign policy advisor to Bibi Netanyahu. Okay. And then she graduated from Harvard University's Kennedy School of Government with a Master of Arts in Public Policy. She went back to Israel. Chief diplomatic correspondent for Makor Rishon newspaper, for which she writes a weekly column in Hebrew. She's also deputy managing editor of the Jerusalem Post. She writes two weekly syndicated columns. She appears in the Wall Street Journal, National Review, Boston Globe, Chicago Sun-Times, Washington Times, Mariv Moment. Okay. She's always on MSNBC, Fox News. And look, I didn't have enough time, but she triggered me when I saw her name. Okay. But anyway, so let's see here. And she's clicked up with David Horowitz and Frank Gaffney, a couple of these hardcore anti-jihadist, pro-Israel types. Okay. Now, here's the thing. She wrote this thing about how McMaster needs to go. Mike Cernovich has been, and who I believe is probably a CINM operative. He's clicked up with Jones now. And he's really at the front edge of this McMaster needs to go thing. Okay. Now, I think McMaster's a CFR guy. Okay. 3-star general. Now Jones has been really trash talking him, saying he's a 3-star that basically Trump had to settle for because nobody else wanted the job, blah, blah, blah. And we see all this stuff about McMaster's really like, hey, he's cool with Susan Rice. And so they're trying to paint him as basically a deep state guy trying to insulate Trump, so forth and so on. All right. Now, let's see here. Mr. Producer, get clip 24 ready. And then you're going to hear Mike Cernovich really just try to rake McMaster over the coals, okay? Let's hit clip 24.
The National Security Advisor is afraid of me exposing him, and let's tell you why he's afraid of me. He's afraid of me because it's been reported now, so I can say it, he has a major alcohol problem. With every meal, 2 martinis, full bottle of wine, sometimes 2 bottles of wine. He really likes California red wine. So if you want to, you know, cozy up to McMaster, who knows what kind of services you can get out of him if you bring him some California Red. Now, granted, I enjoy a glass or two of wine a night myself. So I'm not judging. Well, I am. Two martinis and one or two bottles of wine is a lot of booze. I mean, let's just be honest. If you're taking down two vodka martinis and one or two bottles of wine, that's a lot of booze. That isn't a few, you know, glasses of wine.
That's going to put you in bed at night.
Yeah, exactly, right? That's a real tranquilizer. And the bigger issue is that he is entrusted with all of our national security secrets. So is he getting drunk and running his mouth? Well, as a matter of fact, he was. Again, this is all being reported, or it should be. I don't know. I maybe just scooped somebody. I never know, because I know so much going on that I'm always holding back because I don't know if I'm scooping people. But he gets really drunk and will insult and denigrate Trump around anybody who will listen. This is his MO. He's a total boozer, total partier, which is, again, fine. You know, but if you want to be the national security advisor, that can't be allowed.
Because he gets patted on the head in D.C. I mean, he is a true loser, a true nobody, a true pawn of Petraeus.
Yeah, and there's a lot of rumors, too, that he's engaging in activities with a colleague that shouldn't be happening. They were seen sharing a dessert with dinner. So we don't know quite fully what's going on there, but I've heard a lot of rumors, which, again, could be a national security threat because that could make him subject to blackmail. So we know he's a hard partier, a big boozer, likes to share desserts with a certain female colleague. He, you know, they're spooning each other, you know, the lava cake or whatever. And we know that he likes to bash Trump. So this is why CNN is going after me and the deep state is going after me. They're saying, oh, Cernovich is an anti-Semite for having George Soros as a puppet of the Saudis. But wait a minute. McMaster has said that if you're Jewish and you're pro-Israel, you cannot go to Israel because he said that you can't trust Jews who visit Israel. They might be
a top security clearance risk. Pause it. Hey, I mean, look at all the CNM operations that have happened against this country. Jonathan Pollard, Levon Affair, Liberty, 9/11, King David Hotel against the Brits. I mean, there is some precedent here, Cernovich. Resume it, Mr. Perdis. Resume it.
She got that scoop. But I wish I had had that because that memo was powerful stuff. I would have, you know, I really would have wanted to share that. But I'm glad it got out through a mainstream outlet because then it really went through. Right. So speaking of Rich Higgins, there's an article I sent to the great production team. I have been listed along with the Ayatollah Khomeini as a threat to the Jewish people. You cannot make this up. The Jewish Forward Daily publication has listed people who are a threat to Jews, and they're putting me in the same group as the Ayatollah Khomeini. How does that make any sense, right? I don't even hardly talk about Zionism or anything. It isn't an issue I even talk about that much. But it's McMaster who is actually purging the NSC of all the Jewish people. And it's McMaster who is discriminating against pro-Israeli Jews and telling them that you can't be here. So I am now on another hit list by an anti-defamation left-wing organization. And the article, the Forward Magazine article says 19 people or 18 people, Jews should worry about more than Linda Sarsar. I mean, seriously, think about that. That they are now actively.
The Forward is literally now a PLO front.
Yeah.
Oh, really, Joan? Really?
And saying people like
she calls for jihad, the overthrow of Israel, has family in prison in Israel, literally is funded by Soros, the Nazi. And then here's the Forward, these 20, in fact, print me that article. I saw that this morning. The 20, oh my gosh.
Yeah, so I thought it was a joke. I didn't know that was a real publication. I thought it was like The Onion or something. And then friends of mine were like, no, that's actually a real publication. I thought it was The Onion.
No. The Forward is the biggest Jewish publication in the U.S.
Is it really? Okay, yeah, I thought it was a satire site.
That was Obama's campaign slogan.
Because they list me along with...
Well, it pretty much is now. They call Trump anti-Semitic.
Yeah, Bannon was on there. Sebastian Gorka was on there. Several Jewish people are on that list.
Oh, I'm in there all the time.
And they're defending Linda Sarsar, who supports female genital mutilation, supports terrorism against Israel, views Israel as a segregated state and an unlawful occupier. And I thought
that's hilarious.
God.
You're on the list. That's hilarious. next to the Ayatollah.
Yeah, right? That's why I thought it was a prank. I didn't think it was actually a real website. I go, what Ayatollah Khomeini.
Go ahead and stop it there. We might resume that, but think about the levels of psychological warfare you just heard in the last minute and a half. And then we'll be back, and let's try to crunch it out. Got a short segment here, long segment coming out after the top of the hour. Now, that was heavy from a guy like me that really kind of digs and tries to deconstruct layers here. So the ADL, there was a big thing with Cernovich. Oh, the ADL's after me. And now the Jewish Daily Forward, the Communist Daily Forward. Okay, Obama with his campaign slogan, Forward. That all comes out of the Jewish Daily Forward. The Communist left is basically what they're doing actually is giving these guys some cred. They're giving them some boost of their psyche. They're giving them a boost into the zeitgeist. They're giving them a boost out here into exposure. And so, you know, I look at Cernovich with this thing with McMaster, folks, and then Carolyn Glick is writing articles against McMaster, and you see this entire movement to oust this guy. You know, remember after 9/11, Dr. Alan Sobrowski and others saying basically, look, people in the Pentagon know what happened. Now, McMaster CFR, so temper what I'm saying here against his CFR membership. But what I'm saying is, McMaster might be one of these dudes that's like, you know what? These MF and Israelis hit us on 9/11, and they want him out, maybe, because he is a counterbalance to the Chabad Lubavitch knucklehead Jared Kushner and others. That want to go forward with the Greater Israel Project. McMaster has made some comments about overthrowing Assad, which I'm not comfortable with, but it's really hard to gauge where people really are, versus what you read about them. Okay. So, by all the people aligning against McMaster, these kosher nationalist types, these alt-light types, he could be either one evil SOB that's trying to take down Trump for the deep state, or number two, he could be basically a kosher Nostra-wise general that is trying to keep Trump from making a big mistake somewhere. And look, I'm not telling you how to think, but these are what I'm seeing. These are the two kind of paradigms I'm looking at with McMaster by having Carolyn Glick writing articles against him. And then Cernovich, this kind of a questionable character, guerrilla mindset type guy, coming out of basically nowhere. Now he's like this pro kind of Christian West, pro Israel guy, clicked up with Jones now and Roger Stone, this kosher nationalist movement. I just have to say about McMaster, let's wait and see here. He could be a jerk or he could be a voice of sanity, depending on how he's being painted. None of us know who he really is. I've kind of trashed him in the last few weeks, but who knows? See you on the other side, last hour coming up.
My mind is breaking. Can you feel the heat? My boots are burning. Hit the street. Good morning, whiskey. Good morning, night. The end of the world is in my sight. coming out from the other side. If you know me, you must have died. The killing here, well, it gets waist deep. Good morning, Captain, the scout will say. The end of the world's gonna come today. Reach way back with an Indian guy. The battle I saw, I must have died.
Public Broadcasting Network. Support the network, folks, at all costs. Keep us on the air, and I don't make a dime off of it. That's just to pay the overhead. You got to pay Ken, man. This guy, I put him through the changes every week, man. You don't even know. He's probably like, you know, he likes it, but at the same time, he knows when my show's coming, it's time to get cracking and work, because he's down here working almost as hard as I am. That's for sure. Now, so everybody give a shout out to Ken, who was supposed to leave me. We were supposed to go our separate ways and maybe do something on the side on our own. But man, things are so crazy right now. I'm so happy to have Ken still down there in Round Rock, Texas, doing his thing. And, you know, God's good, folks. And, you know, don't ever give up on God, the creator of everything that we see, everything that we exist. He's here. He's on the throne. He's putting us through the changes because we're a bunch of jerks. And that's what we all have to realize. We brought this on ourselves collectively because we're all a bunch of suckers. And so, you know, we buy into the goofiness and we do dumb things. And so this is why we have to face what we're going to face, because it's been a building. It's like a geyser about ready to blow, and we've all been knuckleheads. And it's just the way it is. Now, let's have clip 25 ready, Mr. Producer. Now, this is the last one. We're basically, I want to bust this paradigm out here for you guys. That somehow, and this is where I'm going to really try to go after it, okay? Because we've got to hold the president accountable. There's so many people that want to act like, oh, my God, the deep state, and everybody's against him. The poor president, he's under siege, you know, and all that sort of thing. Okay. So let's kind of build this and then we'll have to, let's go down deep, but let's play clip 25.
I'm going to read these things, Politico and stuff. And I have my other sources about how much they hate us and how they want to shut us down and how they want to get the president and how they're preparing a coup against him. And you know, how they're trying to basically just affect it where, no one resists when they do kill him. And then you read where they're firing anybody that ever wrote an article against globalism, and just to see how McMaster, Trump couldn't get anybody to take the job until he got McMaster. And Trump's only problem is he doesn't understand that, some of these generals can be Benedict Arnolds. What do you know about Kelly? What do you know about the other guys? Are they all on board with this? I mean, Trump didn't even know till folks talked to him a few nights ago that, Mr. President, they say they're going to remove you in the next month, 2 months, and it's not going to be judicial. It's not going to be the Congress. They're planning on a sudden removal, sir, a coup. And the president's like, well, where is this? Get me that info. And then you try to get the info to him, and it black holes. They're redirecting the emails, the phone calls. I mean, I'm sorry. I just can't shut up about this. We're in the middle of something beyond any movie, Mike Cernovich.
Yeah, so you and I have been squeezed out. So what I can tell you now, so Trump used to read my stuff and listen to your stuff. Kelly has stopped that. The only person now that can get to Trump is Hannity, and that is why there's a massive campaign now to have Hannity, fire Hannity as a campaign. They're trying to do anything, including framing him for misconduct, to remove him. So
that's right. Hannity right now, Sean Hannity is one of the most important people in America because he's the only lifeline we've got to the president, and the president's acting on it, and Kelly's like, it's horrible. He watches Hannity and then does something about it.
Right, exactly. Two of the most important people, you know, other than you, obviously, in InfoWars, Sarah Carter and Sean Hannity. Right now, they are the ones, you know, Sarah Carter breaks really big stories. She goes on Hannity and talks about them. Trump is getting that information now, the very important stories from Sarah Carter and Sean Hannity. So the media is going after Hannity very hard. The deep state is going after Hannity. They want to get him kicked off of television. They're going to do anything they can to stop him.
The good news is Limbaugh now admits there's a plan to kill Trump. So everybody.
Okay. Leave it right there, Mr. Prusser. We're going to resume in a second. Now, Eric Bolling, this kind of good looking older guy, nice hair and everything on Fox News, is now the latest victim of this whole, let's just say, Roger Ailes, Bill O'Reilly, and then Hannity got thrown under the bus for a second, too. So Gateway Pundit is saying that Eric Bolling from Fox News, his accuser for lewd tweeting, is an anti-Trump professor who also accused Bill O'Reilly. So this guy, Eric Bolling, who's a big name author, you know, I guess I would just say good-looking, straight white male, alpha male type-looking guy. Now they're basically he's under what suspension over at Fox, and this feeds into the whole thing where Murdoch's kids are trying to purge all the basically patriotic straight white males off the network. And we saw Hannity targeted. Bill O'Reilly's already gone, and so Bolling is suspended. And so this fits the narrative on the surface. Go ahead and resume the clip.
From Sarah Carter and Sean Hannity. So the media is going after Hannity very hard. The deep state is going after Hannity. They want to get him kicked off of television. They're going to do anything they can to stop him.
And the good news is Limbaugh now admits there's a plan to kill Trump. So everybody's getting hardcore right now, and people should be getting hardcore.
Well, Laura Ingraham is tweeting about McMaster. Remember, you and I have been talking about McMaster since April, early April. Nobody else wanted to talk about it. Now it's the number one story on Breitbart.
And we're not tooting our horn. People need to know why they hate us, because Cernovich and myself are patient zero. Cernovich particularly.
Okay, go ahead, stop it. Go ahead, stop it. Now, Gateway Pundit has this up. McMaster worked at think tank backed by Soros-funded group central to helping push Obama's lies about the Iran nuke deal. Okay, so this fits in with the Iran agenda. Okay, so McMaster is another one that was wanted to do the Iran deal. Which, look, you know, the Shiites in Iran, it's a real mixed bag. There's people that'll tell you they haven't started a war in a couple hundred years, but then if you get into like behind the scenes activity and connections, look, there's people on all kinds of different sides of the fence about the Iranians. Look, some of the Shiites are nuts, okay? They whip themselves with metal freaking cords and all kinds of goofy stuff. But you see the Catholics do that in the Philippines. Don't get me wrong. But there is like elements of the Shia Islam that, let's just say, are very extreme. The regime and Sharia police, and there is a large Jewish contingent that lives in Iran. But anyway, let me get back to this. Okay, so we've got this whole paradigm about the insulation of Trump. General Kelly, now that he's the chief of staff, he's cut Trump off from the internet. He can't do anything. And so they want to make this thing look like Trump is a helpless 70-year-old billionaire tycoon that knows every, 150 IQ. And all of a sudden these generals have isolated him. They cut off Mike Cernovich and InfoWars press passes and blah, blah, blah. So let's look at this another angle that I thought about. Night of the Long Knives type of scenario where Trump, okay, his insulation from the alternative media and everybody that supported him, the alt-right, the alt-light, everybody that was on board with putting Trump in, his insulation is actually a psychological operation against them. Maybe Trump is burning everybody that helped him get there. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know the president, and he's done a lot of cool stuff, and you guys have heard me, since he was running and so forth and so on. I've been very middle of the road, but I like some of the things, the Paris climate thing, yanking us out of it, TPP, going after some of the illegal immigrant gangs and so forth and so on. He's done some cool stuff. Now other things, you signing the Russia sanctions thing, and I already covered that he might have had to because of the hot water, that basically the entire kitchen sink's been thrown at him. If he's a real guy and he's really trying to back us off of the precipice of collapse and anarchy and martial law and the rest of it. But think about it. Okay, let's just look at the angle, because we have to if we're smart people, that the whole thing's a psyop, and then basically the YouTube purges, the beginnings of censorship going on under this regime right now. Nobody doing anything about it from the government, telling YouTube to back off, telling Google and Facebook to quit it, Twitter quit shadow banning and all the rest of it. Is this a sort of Night of the Long Knives for Donald Trump, where he's turning on the people that got him into office and basically slowly through gradualism shoving a knife in their back? I don't want to think that, but we have to think that way with Sessions and kind of going soft on all the criminality and a lot of different things going on here. So we have to keep that angle in mind and say, hey, look, is Trump burning his base on purpose and he's going to flip and become the gun grabber, Democrat, New York billionaire, a.k.a. a la the shades of Mike Bloomberg? You know, I don't think Trump is, but we have to be kind of leery about the possibility that this guy was a, not like Jones said in the beginning, a Patriot sleeper cell, but let's say a New World Order sleeper cell. Is Trump going to be the guy that chips us, or he attempts to chip us? Okay. Is he going to be the, remember I covered this stuff months ago about people talking about, well, the bankruptcy master, Donald Trump, they're putting him as the CEO of the United States Corporation to manage the bankruptcy. Is this going to be happening in the next few months under his watch? The next 9/11, could it be financial? To where the Fed been raising the interest rates, so forth and so on. Do they got a collapse scenario, EMP, grid down thing right here in our face and we can't see it? Trump's going to be the, he's put all these generals around him. People are freaked out about this in the alternative media. It's not all just rah, rah, rah Trump. There's people like, okay, he's got Mattis. He's got Kelly. He's got McMaster. He had Flynn. He's got all these characters he's put up in high places. Military guys are, as the Rex 84 garden plot cable splicer scenario, internment and resettlement operations, scenario going to be coming into place under Trump, the Republican, the patriot guy that all the troops will stand behind. I said this on my program, and when I was on in other people's programs, I was like, look, are they putting this big kind of patriot, veteran friendly guy in to take us to war? Not only abroad, but maybe at home, and to run the martial law operations. It's really interesting to watch all this, and we have to be smart, and we have to be looking at all the angles. Get clip 7 ready, Mr. Producer, about the NAACP warning people, black people, about Missouri, how dangerous it is. Hey, black people, don't go into Missouri, where I'm sitting right now, because guess what? Oh, those evil police might kill you, black people. Play clip 7 real quick.
An unprecedented move being made here by the NAACP as they're putting out a warning saying that people of color that are traveling to Missouri must be on high alert, and this alert goes through August 28, 2017. They're saying that African American travelers or visitors, even Missourians, should all pay special attention and exercise extreme caution when traveling throughout the state, given the series of questionable race-based incidents that have occurred statewide. Now, they're citing a recent Missouri law
that is making it harder
for people.
Go ahead, stop it. Yeah, watch Colin Flaherty's YouTube channel alone, his two YouTubes, about all the St. Louis black-on-white violence, okay? These NAACP, this organization started by Jewish mafia to corral blacks into communism is what it is. National African American Communist Party is what I say it stands for. Now it's trying to, oh my God, black people don't come into Missouri. Hey, guess what? The most dangerous place for you black people that come into Missouri is where all the hood rats are, in St. Louis and frickin' Kansas City. So don't give me your crap about, oh my God, the evil white racist police is gonna kill you if you go into, no. Guess where it's dangerous for you black people? Around all the hood rats in St. Louis and Kansas City. And I know that's politically incorrect, but you know what? I don't give a rat's rear end. And everybody's clowning on Twitter about this one. It's like, dude, look where all the deaths of black people happen. It's in just like places where black people all live. I mean, the murder rate in this town where I live right now in St. Louis, Paul Kersey on Twitter said, almost all violent crime in St. Louis and Kansas City is committed by blacks against other blacks. Very strange stuff here, talking about this NAACP warning. And it, like, the NAACP isn't just some sort of communist apparatchik turd organization of a bunch of Jewish mobsters that started it to stir up black people against whites. And then we see all the other NGOs that have been created throughout the years, the Jacob Javits Immigration Act and La Raza, Mecha, the Black Hebrew Israelites, Nation of Islam, the Morris Science Temple, all the black supremacist cults, the 5%ers. It's all just a bunch of Jewish crap to make black people feel like they're supreme and they need to kill whitey because they're never going to be free and have a good life unless whitey's eliminated. Well, whose agenda is that? I mean, I'm just done to the point where the whole thing is ridiculous. We're coming up on a break, but let me see here. India and China. Okay, the troop deployments on the borders, folks. You got to keep an eye on this, and a lot of people are not paying attention. But I don't know what is happening here, but it's fascinating. These are two nuclear powers, and so everybody's worried about India and Pakistan going at it. It ends up it could be India and China. Keep your eyes on it. We'll see you guys on the other side. We're back from the break. It's Indie Radio. Now, you know, I'm looking at my notes and I got my Twitter feed that I send to myself out, and I'm looking at all this, and I'm like, you know what? This is what I do every week. I create a 6-hour show, and I try to get it in 3 hours, and I don't do it. I'm terrible at it. I've got to get better, and I got to get sharper at being more incisive, precise, concise, and just blasting it instead of going off on rants, but I can't help it. I wanted to get into this, and I got a couple minutes before the break. Jeff Sessions, his middle name's Beauregard. I didn't know this. You do some digging into people. His middle name's Beauregard, a big Confederate general. All right. Now, Dinesh D'Souza, okay, he drops this book about basically how the American left and the National Socialist movements of Germany, let's say, he wants to really tie it to the Germans and Hitler, the American left being in bed with Hitler secretly, Kaiser Wilhelm Institute and all that stuff. You know, I say the American left has always been aligned with the Zio-communists, okay, especially Stalin, okay. Our right-wingers had some contact with Hitler and Mussolini and Franco. This is kind of like your Catholic, Jesuit, traditionalist right, and some of the more hardcore Protestant, you know, people that were like, you know, racially aware and so forth had some cliques with the Germans, Italians, and Spanish. And there's nothing wrong with that. Look what happened after the war. Look what happened to Europe now. Who won? I mean, to sit here and whine about the fascist roots of the left, like this Dinesh D'Souza book, you know, and FDR and blah, blah, blah. It's like, dude, really? FDR and Stalin were butt buddies and Churchill. I mean, give me a break. I mean, there were people behind the scenes that had contact with both of these regimes. We sit here and whine about the bankers creating and having all sides of all the wars to make money, but yet you don't think that there's connections with Germany and Italy and Spain, with the Vatican, the money changers and so forth. Look, there's enough dirt to go around. There's people out here that are in this purity spiral that they think that Hitler and Franco and Mussolini were completely clean and, gosh, this was the last stand against the Jewish communism and so forth. And that's a nice narrative, but that's not political. That's not politics. And that's not how things roll when you really start getting into the underbelly of all this. You're going to find a lot of fecal matter on the underbelly when you're looking at these world wars. And it's just the way it is. And there's players, let's say, involved in all kinds of little ways. But the thing is, I'm like, look, when you look at these visions, and you look what's happened to Europe now in 2017, it's on the precipice. It's hanging by a thread. Okay. America, we're not as close to the precipice. Let's just say demographically, but we're close, but financially, We're right there with everybody else. You got this Trudeau, not Trudeau, his name Trudeau up in Canada. He's trying to suicide his nation. I mean, the Brits, the royal family, Prince Charles and William, I mean, they're all suiciding their nation. The Swedes, Merkel, Renzi, all these people should be strung up and hung for treason. We all know it. Down in our guts, we know these people are all traitors. See you on the other side of the break. Last half hour coming up.
Bye. All right. We are back.
All right, so we got to get into this YouTube Stasi stuff. I mean, get clip two ready, Mr. Producer. People need to realize censorship cuts both ways. And I've got another video, and I don't know if I'll have time to play it, but this stuff's getting real weird now. There's so many YouTubers that I pay attention to that have been purged. Oh, let me get back to this real quick before we get into it. But have clip two ready, Mr. Producer. Jeff Sessions, middle name Beauregard, okay, big Confederate general. And so there's this whole thing out here. Now, let's take a figure like Dr. Duke, okay, who's a Republican, been a Republican forever. There's people saying that basically guys like Jeff Sessions, Southern, white, Republican, named after a Confederate general, middle name, Dr. Duke, that they're secretly Democrats, you see, and they're these evil, racist Democrats who really want to kill off all the black people through abortion and so forth and so on. And this fits in with the D'Souza, his latest book, that all the white racist people want to kill the black babies through abortion and eugenics and so forth and so on. And so now they've built up in the alt-right this pro-Confederacy kind of ethos, okay? And if you know about the Vatican and the Jesuits, they really pushed the Confederacy. Papacy actually acknowledged the Confederate government, so forth and so on. Then you get into John Wilkes Booth, the Surratt family, the killing of Lincoln. So there was definitely some Vatican skullduggery, and I would suggest Edmund Paris's book, The Secret History of the Jesuits, to get into some of this. But basically, it's like, even in the 1860s, the Jesuits and the Cosa Nostra were joined at the hip, ideologically and how they did things in the world. And then you get into the slave ships, the Jewish ownership of the slave ships and so forth and so on. And then you get all throughout Portugal, the colonies and the Spanish colonies, Central and South America, with slavery and the Jesuit reductions in Paraguay and Uruguay and so forth. So there's this thing out here that basically to demonize Lincoln because he squashed habeas corpus and cracked down on the press and so forth and so on. And so now they're trying to basically make Trump, they're trying to really increase the parallels between Trump and Lincoln and then Trump and JFK. So look, when Jones and these guys are talking about Trump, being the predictive programming towards his assassination, it is out here. It's pervasive. It's a ton of it. But then there's people saying that basically these secret Democrats, these secret racist white Democrats that converted to Republicanism, they're like the albatross on the Republican Party's neck, and they're bringing it down, and they're secretly Democrat racist Southern Democrats that converted to Republicans, but secretly they still hold that old Democrat Dinesh D'Souza connected to the Nazi eugenics, kill all the black people paradigm. And so I wanted to get that out there because I'm seeing this floating around, in the research. Let's just say in various sectors, because a lot of the evangelical kind of right, they like to do this, connect the Nazis with the Klan and all that kind of stuff. And I think it's much more sophisticated than that. And it's much more complicated than that to make these, simple correlations, but you'll see them doing it out here. And then Dave Hunt with the book, The Woman Rides the Beast and some of these other ones, they really, you know, some of the Protestant researchers have really done this throughout the ages, connected Catholicism with Franco, Mussolini, and Hitler. And there were concordats and agreements signed, and elements of Rome were behind the fascist National Socialist movements in Italy in the 30s and 40s. But then one could ask, okay, was this just part of a larger psyop or war footing to get sides to fight each other, brothers, wars, and all of this? And so very complicated, but I wanted to get that out there. Now, Garry Kasparov, okay, back to McMaster for a second. Garry Kasparov said this, McMaster, the top Kremlin target since he knows the threat Putin represents. He's also the target of the Bannon Right, not a coincidence. So they're trying to say that the Bannon Right and Putin are aligned. And so that's almost like a person that's kind of Amoruse-wise, the whole John Birch Society kind of 1980s and 90s kind of people that were scared of some of the stink tanks that were trying to say the United States and the Russians should be merged. Amoruse, Tex Mars, really exposed this some years back and so forth and so on. So it's an interesting thing. Jones just at this week had Alexander Dugin on his program for quite a while. And then Alexander Dugin, this Russian thinker, some of the alt-right people are really into Dugin. And so Jones has had him on two or three times. And so now you can see people saying, oh, this is Amoruse thing to merge Russia and the United States kind of ideologically and kind of have a detente or maybe even alignment, against, let's say the rest of the world. And I made this point months ago saying, look, Trump and some of the people on his team might be trying to drive a wedge between Russia and China, the Sino-Russian kind of alignment, and have the Russians align with us, because we're eventually going to have to fight the Chinese. And you get into the Book of Revelation, the 200 million man army, the kings of the East mentioned in the Book of Revelation, the exact basically population of the Chinese military right now. Bible prophecy, once again, very accurate. When you get into Revelation 13, the mark of the beast, all these, this microchipping, the wetware, the tattoos, the skin kind of implants. There's all kinds of technology there. Transhumanism, the image of the beast, all this sort of things, very fascinating. And, what kills me is we move at, not a snail's pace, but as full speed ahead, pedal to the metal towards these prophecies, in the Bible. And then, you know, people want to poo-poo, these prophecies. Now there is another, let's just say, paradigm out here where you could say that the Bible's been used as a playbook by the evil ones. Okay, the prophecies are written. Let's try to use them against the population as kind of a psy warfare technique, as kind of a way, as a control mechanism. We're going to keep pushing this, all these various things that trigger Christians and so forth. Oh my God, this is the mark of the beast. And so you can look at it that angle as well, that the elites of the various governmental and managerial, organs, they know the prophecies as well. And so now they're using those to kind of as a way to corral the population and to kind of mind screw them. And so you got to look at it that way too. Are the prophecies coming to pass? I believe they are, but at the same time, you could also look at it as kind of a sheeple management system. Let's freak them out. Let's talk about microchips again. Let's start putting them in a few people's hands and then we'll take them right back out or whatever. You just don't know. And so this could be some sort of just a demoralization mechanism. Oh my God, the mark of the beast is here. We're going cashless. When actually it's just a way to get people geeked out, those of us that are in the know. It's hard to say. Let's get into this YouTube kind of Stasi agenda. Clip 2, Mr. Producer, let's play it real quick.
Always remember that 1984 was a cautionary tale, not a playbook. So some of you might have heard of this, some of you not, but this will affect a lot of people on the YouTube platform. And if you're watching this, this means you. YouTube has just rolled out more rules for content creators, and they are draconian in nature and, as always, opaque. According to YouTube's official blog, videos will now be subject to mob rule, because if enough users flag a video as being either hate speech or violent extremism, YouTube will then impose restrictions on that content, even if it doesn't break any of the platform's rules. YouTube has said that these kinds of videos will be placed in a limited state. The videos will remain on YouTube behind an interstitial. They won't be recommended, won't be monetized, and won't have key features including comments, suggested videos, and likes. And mass flagging can happen for a lot of reasons, including ideological, and even when the internet gets angry. A good example of this would be the drama-soaked community of rational skeptics. And July wasn't a very good month for the rational skeptics, and the crescendo of July's train wreck of skeptic drama was the upload of a video by the popular skeptic Crouton T, who basically angered the internet via his actions with regards to another YouTuber.
All right, stop it there. You're good there, Mr. Producer. Now, go ahead and get clip four ready. And this kind of has to do with the censorship, okay? Mark Zuckerberg, he's notorious for censoring love. That stays up. But you say something conservative, pro-gun, or whatever, a lot of those get taken down, especially if you're somebody prominent. Now, if you're a nobody, a lot of that will stay up. But if you're somebody that has a following, you say something, let's just say patriotic, nationalistic, right-wing, pro-gun, pro-private property, pro-free enterprise, pro-free speech, your ass is going to get censored. Let's hit clip four.
In your quest to censor material and content that you don't agree with, do you understand that the sword of censorship has two edges, and once in motion, and you people are putting it in motion, there's nothing that will stop it from eventually swinging in your direction. If you're against the freedom of others to speak their minds in the free and open forum that is the internet, then are you prepared to have your own freedom stripped as well? As much as I and others are against your ideologies and philosophies, we would not dream of shutting you down. We believe in the free market of ideas, the good ones and the bad ones. Opposing opinions and beliefs are good. When I watch the videos of leftist channels like The Young Turks, Democracy Now!, and CNN, on the one hand, I view them as railing against individual freedoms and free market ideas while they promote the deceptive left-right paradigm and government empowerment. But on the other hand, I rejoice that they actually have the individual freedom to exercise their right to post their rhetoric unhindered. Why am I not freaked out about their existence? Because when the dust settles, logic, compassion, truth, and a desire for individual liberties will win. And the reason
right,
I know
ahead,
it
stop
wins,
it, go ahead, stop it. Hey, here's the thing. I love using these idiots' own words against them. But see, they don't like that. So that's why they try to shut down us, because we'll use their own words, their own clips, their own audio, and we'll make them look like idiots. And this is what they hate the most. But what they don't realize is they haven't read the protocols. See, when you get into the protocols, you'll realize that all the Antifa useful idiots, not the managers who are part of the protocols management team, but the useful idiots, they're the ones, first ones that are going to get purged when the crap hits the fan, when the Bolsheviks take control of the helm, the Red Terror begins. They're going to be right there with the right wingers. Right after those first wave of right wingers are done and the Red Terror Bolsheviks feel safe enough, then they're going to purge all the turds that were their useful idiots. But see, they're not smart enough to realize that. And so they're going to purge us, but then they don't realize the knife's right at their back. And this is what's so deplorable about the suckers that don't know anything about how these Red Terrors operate. They haven't looked at them. They don't realize that, yeah, you're going to be the lieutenant today to take down A, B, C, and D, but as soon as D's dead, guess what? You're E. and you're dead. And this is what's unfortunate, that we have so many naive buffoons, that operate in our vicinity. Okay. Let's do this real quick. Mr. Booster, get clip 10 ready. Tom DeLonge from Blink 182. Now this goes with, and I'm segueing here, Chester Bennington, who a lot of people think was Podesta's seed, John Podesta's seed from the Linkin Park, the singer that hung himself, Chris Cornell from Soundgarden and Audioslave, and this is this pedophile kind of network. Cornell was running a kind of a help organization, a charity for abused kids, and he ends up hanging himself. Then Chester Bennington from Linkin Park hangs himself on Cornell's birthday, and then people are speculating that Bennington is actually John Podesta's illegitimate son, and he had been raped, and he had said he had been raped, and so forth. The satanic ritual kind of pedophile abuse network. So now we've got another individual from Blink 182, kind of a high-profile punk rock band that came out of the, let's say LA, West Coast, kind of skater, Epitaph Records world, Bad Religion and Pennywise and so forth and so on. So let's play clip 10.
Now, I found this article. Blink 182 singer Tom DeLonge is exposing a pedophile ring that's actually leading to arrests. Yeah. So not only was Chris Cornell doing it and looking into it, also his buddy from Linkin Park, Chester Bennington, and then now Tom DeLonge is coming out from Blink 182. And I know everybody's like, meh, it's neon metal, meh. No, my friends. No. You see, on Facebook, Tom DeLonge actually wrote about this whole thing. And that's where this article kind of stems from. This is, I'm going to read it directly from his Facebook page. This is July 29th. He says, these asswipes are going to jail for trying to kidnap a 15-year-old girl 48 hours ago. Yeah, I mean, that's right. He says, she grew
all
up
right,
with my...
folks, we will see you on the other side of the break, but more pedophilia, weird stuff, and I'll mention Justin Bieber on the other side too, because this is, he's floating around out here. Wanted to get into this real quick. Famous Holistic, the author, this is from Sean, sent me this, working against Big Pharma, found dead. This was August 5th. Famous Holistic author, naturopath and researcher, Ann Boroch, B-O-R-O-C-H, found dead in L.A. on Thursday as a community of physicians seeking to operate outside the confines of Big Pharma continues to be decimated. She was 44. She was the author of Healing Multiple Sclerosis and the Candida Cure, was famous for curing herself of MS at the age of 24 and remaining symptom-free for over two decades. She was also outspoken on many issues, including the dangers of vaccination. She was actively campaigning for people to take control of their lives and reject Big Pharma's crippling products in favor of natural healing. She believed that education is the most important tool to heal your mind and body. Her sudden unexpected death has left her family and supporters in such a state of shock that her cousin Lisa had to confirm on Facebook that the news was unfortunately correct. And then there's another link to the lady. Remember the lady was shot by the Somali, the Australian lady. They're saying she was a naturopath as well. And so this is very alarming. Dr. Lisa, if you're listening, be very careful, because I know you've been getting around on some of the RBN shows and a couple other shows. So, Dr. Lisa, my buddy, watch your rear end, because, gosh, this is getting real ugly for people that are doing your kind of work. And so I'll just leave it at that. But very creepy. I've been creeped out by the purge of these naturopaths, and I've been covering it, I want to say, for 2 years now, a year and a half. I don't even know. I don't do my archives. I don't listen to my show. You know, when I first got on the air, I used to listen to my own show and see how I sounded. After a while, you just can't, because you're going to cringe at your own voice and your own style. You're going to cringe. You're better off just doing the show, put it out there, hoping people send it out there. You know, here's what gets me, man. A lot of people that dig my show plug the show. I don't plug the show on when you call into other shows, because guess what? That's what's going to make it grow. Not that I care. I don't have a website. I'm not trying to get paid. But what the thing is I think the material is good enough to where you should probably want to tell other people about it. And that's all. I'm not trying to become a star. I'm not trying to get money. I don't even have a website. But when you call into other people's shows, hey, be like, check this show out. And we're going to go a few more minutes into the next hour, so stay tuned. Radio. We're going over a little bit. Ken's being gracious enough. Him and I are, I guess, goofy enough to stay up and do this for a little bit longer. Now, I want to talk about this. Duterte, okay, the president of the Philippines, was mocking Kim Jong-un, supposedly in the middle media. Now, is he being forced to play ball? Okay, he's got ISIS on his southern islands acting a fool. ISIS, Israeli Secret Intelligence Service, CIA, a Saudi, Paki, British, whatever, attacking his southern peninsula or islands. So now he's mocking Kim Jong-un. You see what I'm saying? I was worried about that. I was like, yeah, is Duterte feeling the pressure? So now he's trying to play ball by mocking Kim Jong-un, going along with this big invasion that's about to hit. Mr. Brewster, get clip six ready. But this fits into McMaster again. Now he's warning about a preemptive hit on North Korea. And is Trump trying to insulate McMaster? Because think about this. Cernovich, Jones, all of them are trying to trash McMaster right now, right? Guess who's coming to his defense? The ADL, Van Jones, the Huffington Post, all the left-wing garbage outlets are coming to McMaster's defense. Just like they did to Jeff Sessions. Remember I talked about that last week? Is Trump trying to insulate these folks by sending out attack dogs on them, watching all that happen, and then all the left with their goofy kind of knee-jerk response, oh my God, Alex Jones and Cernovich are trashing McMaster. We got to come to his defense. And so then the ADL and the rest of them are saying, oh, McMaster's great. Well, that's another angle on it. I don't know, but let's do clip six real quick.
North Korea right now, we have several individuals making comments that are very telling as to where this is going. Now, the timing, as usual, is up in the air. I, for one, do not have a crystal ball, but what I do see is a lot of moves being made and things aligning, showing that there very well could be a military strike on North Korea at any time. The reason being is there is the repetitive talk of a preventive strike, stopping them from striking us. And McMaster just came out and said that, look, we've got to do something, and he keeps repeating it, saying that if we've got to make the moves to take them out, the regime and the deterrent, being the nuclear weapons, we're going to have to do that. And he keeps talking like they're forcing them to have to make this move. Now, we also have Lindsey Graham that just appeared on the Today Show saying that President Trump had indicated to him that the administration is prepared to strike North Korea to prevent an attack against the United States. And then Matt Lauer must have asked him if there was a military option. He says there is a military option to destroy North Korea's program and North Korea itself. So this is starting to pop up.
Yeah, all right. In several stop it places. There. Here's what's wicked. Think about, we talked about this weeks ago, using North Korea as the catalyst to pop our an EMP on ourselves, to drop our power grid, throw us into martial law. Now, I don't know if that would be or a limited deal. You know, some people are talking about doing it to flyover country. Well, the West Coast and the East Coast, governed by the so-called elite, stay intact. A kind of a targeted EMP hit on all of us buffoons. And that would go into the Night of the Long Knives scenario, which I was talking about earlier, where all of us are like cannon fodder, and then all the libtards get to keep their, you know, creature comforts, and Trump turns and puts a dagger in our back. I don't think that's true. I think Trump's got a few patriotic DNA cells left in his body, and I think he's trying to do right. But we have to, you know, be kind of wise as serpents, like we're told to be. And you want to hope for the best, but be ready for the person that's going to come up with the dagger and try to put it in the poignard, to put it in your back. And so we've got to be kind of cognizant of this. Now, I wanted to talk about Justin Bieber. This is floating around with Mr. Tom DeLonge and then Chester Bennington and Chris Cornell. Now Justin Bieber, it's floating around that he is exposing that pedos are in charge of everything, and now he's going to Bible studies and all this. This is on some of these quite questionable websites. He has canceled his tour, et cetera, et cetera. And there's been talk on numerous sites about him basically kind of getting let's just say close to the Christian ethos or mindset. You know, it's hard to say. This could be fake news. You don't know. The eclipse, okay? Let's see, Mr. Producer, get clip 12 ready. But I saw this, the eclipse, when it leaves the United States, it's right on the 33rd parallel, right there at Charleston, which, if you get into that, Charleston, the 33rd parallel, and the esoteric side of the house with that, you'll quite find that quite fascinating. Let's do clip 12 real quick, and I'll cut it off.
A lot of people have been asking me about the August 21st eclipse. That is one of the biggest eclipses that we've had in about 100 years. And is there a significance there? Is it the rapture, all these crazy things? You know, websites like The Inquisitor in Odd News talked about the solar eclipse and painted Christians as crazy based on just one website called Unsealed, and I'd never even heard of it. And of course, they mischaracterize and bash it and talk about how ridiculous it is. But that's to be expected from places like Inquisitor. Now, for me, there's significance to it in that the Bible states in Genesis chapter 1 verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So it's a calendar system, but it's also for signs. And certainly an eclipse would indicate something. And I would suggest...
stop it there. That- Go ahead and stop it. Now, I've got another website up. Fears for President Trump arise as the Soros curse rapidly approaches. Okay, so they're talking about the 21st of August eclipse. Okay, now think about this. Okay, in astronomy terms, the Soros describes an eclipse period of approximately 223 synodic months. Okay. 18 years, 11 days, 8 hours. Unfortunately for the U.S., however, this report continues. This particular 21 eclipse, August eclipse, is a continuation of a series known as the Soros Curse, whose past observations occurring in America have seen the 1909 attempted assassination of President William Howard Taft, the 1927 period of U.S. political unrest that caused the Bath School disaster bombing, the 1945 atomic bombing by the U.S. and two Japanese cities, the death of FDR, and the death of FDR, the 1963 assassination of John F. Kennedy, the 1981 attempted assassination of President Ronald Reagan, and the 1999 impeachment of William Jefferson Clinton. Tying the solar eclipse of 17 June 1909, 29 June 1927, 14 January 1945, 25 January 63, 31st July 81, 11 August 99, and the coming one of 21 August 2017. And then they get into Kepler, Johannes Kepler, an unfailing experience of mundane events in harmony with the changes occurring in the heavens has instructed and compelled me by unwilling belief. And so basically, he's one of the last astronomers to believe that these things had to do with, you know, real events on the Earth. And so, let's just say people are talking all over the place about this next, eclipse and then the possible catastrophic, phenomenon that might happen to Trump. And then, of course, cocktailed with Jones and Cernovich and Roger Stone and all the, you know, the assassination kind of predictive programming that we're seeing out here. Now, another big deal out here that I'm seeing floating around is that basically Trump is on this vacation because the White House is full of bugs. Okay, so they're basically, I'm seeing this one out here that the real reason why Trump is out on his vacation is because Obama totally bugged the White House. And you'll see all these various articles on Fox News and so forth about the digging that was going on while Obama was president. And they put in this massive bugging system, so forth and so on. Now, let's see here. Mr. Brewster, get clip 14 ready, and we're gonna kind of round out the show. But this is about female genital mutilation, and we need to listen to this one. This is really sick. And whether you like Linda Sarsour or think she's a psyop, a Mossad type psionym, and she's doing this to bring the communist left in with the kind of Islamic Palestinian, almost jihadi, groups. And, you know, we saw this with Ferguson, and there were Palestinian activists down there. Let's play clip 14. Okay. Well, never mind. So something happened with the computer down there and at RBN. No big deal. We're gonna kind of tie things up here. Let's see here. Remember the predictions that I had at the beginning when Trump got inaugurated, how this felt like when Bush Jr. got inaugurated. And so we're approaching September. That's all I'm going to say there. Okay. Oh, the Minnesota mosque. Okay. The FBI had to detonate an explosive at a mosque in Minnesota. And I tweeted, but anyway, I tweeted out to the FBI. I was like, oh, so you blew one of your own devices as usual. Because, you know, I don't trust that people like somebody, like some patriot white guy is going to plant a bomb at a mosque in Minnesota. I just don't believe that. I've got a mosque down the street. There's no white guys that are going to go put a bomb in some mosque just because we don't like, Islamic invasion, perpetuated by the usual suspects. It's just not something I'm going to do. I'm not going to risk my freedom for it. And I don't think most guys are. I think it's sick, and it's probably ran by, alphabet agencies, and then the FBI can sit there. Oh, you see, we just intercepted a bomb that was about to be blown up on these poor Muslims, these Somalis in Minnesota. We stopped it because we're the heroes, knowing that they probably planted the damn thing there in the first place. I mean, how many times are they going to have to do this before we quit being suckers and realize that we got a bunch of goofballs that like having big fat budgets, they like making six-figure incomes, and they like to, you know, act like they, oh my God, we're the heroes. We just saved all these poor Muslims from the evil white bombers. Just like Oklahoma City. If you want to watch a nice video on Oklahoma City, watch one called A Noble Lie. It really breaks it down well. Go ahead and play the video. Female genital mutilation
in the West is good, especially for women. There's no better place to be a woman in 2017 than right here in North America. Or maybe parts of Europe or Australia. Both the United States and Canada routinely rank at or near the top positions when it comes to the best places in the world to be a woman. Girls and women have endless opportunities here, and we have the same long-held rights and freedoms and protections as men. If anything, women and girls are more protected and have more opportunity today than men. Women in the West are lucky. We're privileged compared to other women in other parts of the world who still struggle to obtain basic freedoms and liberties. But in the West, the privileges that women enjoy, they must also extend to all women, especially and including newcomers. Several new recent news stories have highlighted the fact that cultural violence is being imported into North America alongside immigration. I'm particularly talking about the barbaric cultural practice of female genital mutilation, or FGM. In Michigan, the first federal FGM case in U.S. history is currently making its way through the courts. Four people have been charged in relation to a Detroit area medical clinic after multiple minor girls in Michigan told authorities that they had had their genitals mutilated at the clinic. The federal complaint claims that members of the Dawoodi Bora community, which is a religious sect that's part of Islam, are, quote, known to practice FGM on young girls as part of their religious and cultural practice, unquote. Well, the defendants of this case claim to be innocent, and their attorney has said that the individuals were just performing a religious procedure and that they did not violate the law. Look, We in the West enjoy vast freedoms, and that includes freedom of religion. But your religious freedom ends where my liberty begins. So, no, you cannot use a razor blade to mutilate a child's genitals and then claim to be protected under the banner of religious freedom. It just doesn't work that way. And let's just be clear about what we're talking about. There are three main types of FGM that are practiced. The most mild version involves cutting out the skin around the clitoris, as well as the partial or total removal of the clitoris itself. That's the mild form. The more severe type of FGM removes the labia as well, essentially scraping off the major externally visible portions of a woman's vagina. Look, it's uncomfortable to talk about, yes, but the fact that this horrific and barbaric practice is being carried out in America should make us even more uncomfortable. Since 1990, the estimated number of girls and women who have been subjected to this horrific practice has tripled. In an unpublished draft of the CDC report...
Let's stop it there, and we're coming up on the break here, and we're going to end the show. But what I want to say is, think about this. If they're willing to do this in the West, in the United States, to their little girls, okay, I want the listeners to really concentrate on this. You're willing to cut your girls like that down below. What are they doing to the animals? Now, we got our own slaughterhouses and we got our own this and that. But what are these whack jobs doing to your dog when it runs away and he never comes home? Think about that. The tortures. Why would we import a bunch of people that think an animal like a dog, one of God's greatest gifts to man, cannot enter your house or the angels won't enter? What kind of angel wouldn't enter a house where there's a dog? I'll tell you what kind of angel, a fallen angel, a demon. So this thing's demonic. Now, I'm going to cover something next week because I just don't want to cover it tonight. But this is Dr. Kevin Barrett, who's a Muslim white guy, an offering of the covenants of the prophet Muhammad to the Christians of the world in the 21st century. And this got released by him on the 30th. What they're basically saying is that Dr. John Morrow and Charles Upton, two leading American Muslim intellectuals, are working to help end Christian versus Muslim strife by publicizing the covenants of the Prophet Muhammad to the Christians of the world. These remarkable documents, drafted inside by the Prophet himself, enshrine Muslims' duty to protect Christians until the end of the world. Okay? And so you can find this on Veterans Today at Kevin Barrett's. You go, you can find him very easily. It's a very long article. But basically these guys who are converts to Islam, they're basically, they've discovered, okay, all this, these things. And I've read about this for years, that basically Muslims are called upon and ordered by Prophet Muhammad to protect all Christians until the end of the world and not mess with them and don't mess with their churches and so forth and so on. Now, whether this is some sort of deception called taqiyya in Islam, or whether this is real or not, maybe we'll talk about it next week. Go to VT, check out where Dr. Barrett talks about the covenants of the Prophet Muhammad and how all of a sudden they're supposed to protect Christians instead of, you know, this hundreds of years of fighting that we've had to do with these folks, and they've almost taken Europe numerous times, and they've taken Europe. So here we are. Thanks for listening, and appreciate John and Ken and RBN, and hope the show was satisfactory, and keep listening, and I'll see you next week, maybe, if things are right and I don't get, you know, purged. But thanks a lot, folks. Incendiary Radio on RBN. Ken, thanks a lot, man. You did a perfect job tonight. Appreciate you, and see y'all.